can't be live.
And this is probably going to be very racist. Bonus. Patty getting his calisthenics in before we started.
My shoulders are like always super like tight and hunched up. So I'm trying to like, you know, kind of straighten them out. And yeah, so I did some shoulder rolls right before
we started. You get tense before we record. You get in the zone.
I get tense in general. I get tense in my sleep. You know, you name it.
I felt like you were mocking me because I was just complaining about how I fucked up my back so bad.
There
was like,
no mocking.
Wow, those shoulder rolls look really nice, asshole. Yeah, I wish I could do them.
Some various back heavy. I'm gonna poorly lift some things, like, you know, not from my legs. Be like, this is fine. It only hurts a little bit.
Man, I think that's how, like, because I was getting better and then I fucked myself up even worse. And I think it was before I even started, because they were like, you can do some upper body weights if you want. And I was like, great, I'll try to do some upper body weights. And I think the very first thing I did was move a bench under the squat rack to bench. And I think just moving that bench, it was like, bah! Like, well, never mind. Yeah,
no.
Like before I even did any actual exercising, it was like, nope, nice try, asshole. So it's fun being old. I enjoy it.
Being old,
what's up
rocks.
With you?
You know, right before we recorded today, a very fun episode with Jordan.
Jordan's so great.
He's a podcasting pro.
A seminal podcaster.
Yeah.
One of the early ones, Jordan Jesse Go.
Yeah.
Influential. Yeah.
And you can tell because he's got the you know,
he's very a pro.
Very snappy. Before we recorded, we were doing some supplemental training with Liza, who's been having some issues eating things off of the sidewalk. We're doing some, the trainer. We got a lot of good stuff. It was kind of a miracle, actually, what we managed to accomplish. But we had like a mix of pouring like Carolina Reaper hot sauce on stuff and having her go towards it.
Aww.
We all yell at the same time, and the trainer does a little like not a command, just a yell. Like an ultrasonic, one of those like, you know, like noise things. So she was just kind of like, oh, what the hell? You know, so really kind of like discouraging her from eating anything.
So did she eat the stuff with the hot sauce on it?
She like licked it once and then was like, oh no. And she did. Like,
I want to know what her reaction. Yeah. What is she when she tastes spicy? What happens?
It was not dissimilar from like the peanut butter thing, but I think it was like more like, I got to get this off me. I got to get this off.
Liza
me.
On oh, just hot like, ones.
Yeah.
Liza on hot ones.
Yeah, get Liza on would ones. Not do well on hot ones.
I've told the story about my mom and her bird feeder, right?
No.
Have I told? Okay, so.
Right, if you have, I don't remember. So sorry.
I will tell it as I think it's the funniest thing ever. So my mom has a really nice garden, and she has a bird feeder, and squirrels kept eating from her bird feeder. It would get like attacked by squirrels and like all these other little critters that live in her yard and not birds. So she put out another bird feeder with cayenne pepper in it, like a ton of cayenne pepper, because birds don't taste capsaicin. So it was like, okay, this will keep the critters away and the birds will like it.
Okay.
And it turned out her squirrels really liked the spicy stuff. They would just eat it and then slap their tails on the ground a bunch. Like, they just were like having a really good time with it. So she basically made a like Popeyes menu for the squirrels. Like, they could choose if they wanted regular or spicy, and it didn't work at all. It did not work at all. They just found a taste for it. So
wow. Okay. Anyway. Well, yeah.
If you see a squirrel slapping its tail against the ground,
it just ate something spicy.
Ate something a little spicy. That's all.
It's been challenging because it's like, we don't know if it's instinct or because like a dog park, she will just like, look, the stuff she is eating is, you know, it's other
poop.
Dog's business.
She likes to eat poop.
Yes.
Other
not
dogs
her own
business.
Other dogs. And it can be
that's
instinctual.
That's weird that you think there's like a big clarification between those two.
Well, there is.
Like,
I mean, there
she's
is.
She's less nasty if she's eating other dogs.
I'm just saying that's what. No, I'm clarifying. I'm not saying it's worse or less gross or more gross.
Look, I need you to know she doesn't eat her own.
That's right. Well, it'll be a lot harder to stop that. Because she's that's gonna, true. She's going to be near that when she does it. So
that's true.
She but it's like it could be like a mix of like instinctual attention getting. There's some kind of dietary deficiency because like something apparently that's a thing that leads to. So we don't know. Yeah,
she has a poop deficiency in her diet.
Yeah,
you're not feeding her enough poop.
She needs more enzymes or something. But she we gotta give her gorilla brain or whatever, you know, some one of the yeah. one, or, you know. But
you have to crack a little quail egg on top of her food every day.
Right. She needs her nootropic stack is or no yeah. whatever it's is low. but so the training was like, yeah, it was like for some reason there's just a ton of dog shit all over the block, you know, all over the neighborhood basically. And like hot sauce on it and being like, eh, check it out. And then she'd be like, oh no. And then we'd, you know, yell at her or whatever. And so
the solution is you have to go around your neighborhood with a little bottle of hot sauce and just douse every dog turd with just a little Tabasco hope no other human beings see you doing that.
Pretty much. Yeah. You know, and then you tie a little napkin around your neck and you get a fork and knife and you lick your lips. Could you have
used regular hot sauce?
Nope, Carolina Reaper.
Oh, I don't know. We just had like a 10 out of 10 hot sauce. From a gift or something. So we just used something that was like very, you know, spicy and kind of like purely just like hot and not like anything else.
Yeah.
So we got to the dog park where she normally all she'd want to do is just go look for where there's any kind of like, you know, kind of stuff on the ground, like, you know, leftover smears or anything like that. And she was running around and playing. So like one morning of it. And so we just got to get some more reps in general. I'm just kind of, you know, and so we're it was a very successful training session. So
did they come to your house and do this?
We like walked around the area basically.
So you had to like find some dog shit.
And it was not hard for some reason there's a lot of it. So
yeah.
Oh, and they also staged, they brought another dog they were boarding and staged like that dog went when we were at the dog park when it was just the two of them. And so, like, we had, like a full, like, fresh scenario, basically.
An experiment.
And staged it. And yeah, so it was really quite something. Yeah.
I'm glad Liza's cured. That makes me happy.
We'll see.
Do you have to, like, put some new thing in her food to try to get her to stop doing it?
We're already doing all that. Like, we got probiotics from the vet, but we already were using one, and we got a different one, and there was no change in it. So we think it's more of an attention-seeking thing than anything else, and so we're just trying to kind of train that out.
That will get you attention.
Yeah, hey, stop doing that. It's like, oh, they love this. It's like, God. We're upset with you.
I feel like she gets a lot of attention, so.
She does get a lot of attention.
She's just a little star, I guess. She just needs more.
Look, once you get a taste, you know, of attention, not of, you know, but
of also the other thing,
I guess, of
man,
both.
Yeah, she should become an actor. She should be a dog actor.
We'll get her in there.
I feel like, you know, she wants stardom.
Yeah, she could play Doodle. She could play, you know, she's got a lot of range. People think she's all different kinds of dogs. So, well, yeah.
I'm still thinking about that dog in Anatomy of a Fall. I, like, can't stop thinking about how good that dog was. It's just, like, such a performance. Really incredible stuff. Really, like, there's a part where it has to act like it's dying, and it does. Like, it's awesome. It's so good. Anyway, I'm glad Liza's doing better. Speaking of celebs, can we do one of our stories?
Let's do it.
We got some celeb news from Iguana Helium Cube here. This is about Paul Giamatti, who Patty apparently listens to his podcast. He has a podcast. Tell us about Paul Giamatti's podcast.
I've listened to one episode because I don't really listen to shows anymore. I don't have time. But I did find one of the episodes was their guest is Ted Chiang, who is a very good short story author, kind of. You know, and it, when his books come out, it's like a big event because he doesn't put out that much stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like a little, I don't know how to describe it. It's like describing what any podcast is that doesn't have like our format, you know what I mean? It's kind of, it sounds a little bit kind of, you know, but it's like he has a co-host who's an author and philosopher and they talk about, you know, like just, I don't know, the mind. It's called The Chin Wag. And, the one with Ted Chiang was very enjoyable. And, also the, there's one here that I'm going to listen to probably later that says Cryptozoology 101, which that's what I'm talking about right there.
Critters.
I wanna
have you ever heard there's a really funny, I think it's Stone Cold's podcast where he has John Moxley on, and John Moxley just talks about Bigfoot the whole time. It's really good. I just like any, I want to know wrestler opinions about cryptids. I feel like that's more than anything else. I don't want to know their opinions about most things, but
yeah,
cryptids and aliens, that's like, tell me what you think about this. This is what I want to know.
Yeah, there's like a ton of famous people that have done this if you go through the history of it. But there's been like, you know, a decent 60 episodes or something like that, 50 Ooh. Episodes. So, yeah, but it is one of those things where it's like nobody knows about this for some reason. But he's
yeah, you know, I mean, even this story does not come from his podcast, which I feel like celebrity podcasts are like half of what news stories about celebrities are now, is like someone said something on some podcast.
Yes.
Which I guess is just like that. If you're looking to like cancel somebody or criticize somebody or something, just listen to any podcast they've done, because people say wild shit on them all the time because you forget that a bunch of people are listening to it. So
yeah,
go through our archives for problematic.
Do not do this.
Utterances.
The funniest version of this, and it's not even like a thing that was recorded, but there was an episode of during the pandemic. Friends of the show, Chase Mitchell, Sean O'Connor, were doing a like live. They would do like Jackbox games, you know, like a mm-hmm. weekly like game show, basically. And they would get
Both did it, I think.
Yeah. And Adam Brody was on one. Seth Cohen from the OC, of course. And he like made some offhand comment about how wife and baby are doing great or something like that.
And
some sicko from the Daily Mail or something was like watching this show, I guess, because it was not like it was like put out anywhere else. And
no, it was just like on Twitch live, right? And it would get like a couple hundred viewers.
Yeah, and it was like, oh yeah, Leighton Meester like had a baby or is pregnant or there was some crazy thing that broke because of it. And he's like, well, that's okay. Did not think that was gonna be, but yeah, you got to keep an eye out, I guess.
Yeah, man. I just remember there was one a few years ago, and it was, I don't know why I remember this. I guess because like I heard the clip and it was just so people on a podcast not realizing everyone else is going to hear it. I think it was Meghan Trainor, and she was like, fuck teachers.
Yeah.
It's just like so funny to just be like, man, teachers fucking suck. They act like their job is so hard and they're assholes. Like, all this, it's just like, what are you saying out loud? You're a famous person. Why are you doing this? Because clearly they were just like riffing. Like, I'm sure she doesn't believe that. She was just like being silly on a podcast. But yeah, if you're a famous person and you're like not, like if I were really famous, I could not do, I just say too much stuff. Like, I don't think I say anything bad, but I just like, I don't know. I would get in trouble. I just know I would get in trouble. Somebody would find something and I would get in trouble.
I guess there's a really good clip that I saw. It's so on Las Culturistas, Tina Fey was on it, I guess, and she did a whole thing about how,
oh
like,
my god, that was so funny.
Like, where it's like you're too famous to talk shit now. You can't do that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people will you're gonna meet these people that you're talking shit about. You know, you have to like learn this lesson, you know. And yeah. I think it was probably occasioned by the whole like when Io was like talking about Jennifer Lopez like years ago, and then it was hosting SNL, and some freak at TMZ like found it and put it and made a little news cycle out of it or whatever. Just like, okay, yeah, you got it. Fair enough.
In that example, Tina Fey's example of a fake Emerald Fennel movie was so funny to me. She was like, you can't say anything bad about Saltburn, because what if Emerald Fennel calls you and she wants you to be Carey Mulligan's coworker in the bridal section of Harrods, and then the third act takes a dark and sexual turn? Like, it was just like, you just wrote, like, she should quit now. That is what her movies are. Like,
it's like, and you have to pretend that you're surprised about the sexual turn. Yeah. No, it's
so good. I mean, I'm sure I'm just quoting something everyone listening to this has already heard, but it just like, I don't know. It just, it gave me visions of like the 30 Rock parody of an Emerald Fennel movie, and I was like very sad that it doesn't exist. I could see it unfolding before my eyes, you know.
Yeah,
anyway, she's right. Yeah, so you can't talk shit if you're famous. You sucks.
Button it up.
I couldn't do it. I'd talk too much shit. I wouldn't be good at it. Paul Giamatti not falling victim to this. But yeah, I just think it's weird. He has a podcast. This story doesn't even come from his podcast, where I guess he's probably controlled and media trained and also is like
it's sort not
of
about
outside
this,
enough of this right, celeb yeah. world that it's not yeah. a problem. But I guess he was on the Howard Stern show, which is also funny. That's just like a... That in itself is like a sketch or something. Paul Giamatti on the Howard Stern show.
Well, they know each other. They know each other going back way back because he was Pig Vomit in Private Parts. That was one of his
first.
Yeah,
you're right.
Classic. You ruined the sanctity of my marriage, Howard. You know, at the
I played Pig Vomit.
He's at the urinal while like he hears on air what's going on, and he's trying to finish pissing so he can go stop it. Like it's such a like wonderful. Thing. So yeah,
that's yep. Oscar winner Paul Giamatti, Pig Vomit.
They go back.
Check it out.
They go back a long way.
They do. But yeah, so he was on Howard Stern, and he says that he keeps being bothered by Cher or people who represent Cher. He says every so often I get a message from somebody that says Cher. Not just that she wants to talk to me, but that she needs to talk to me about something important. And he's just like, I can't possibly understand what's Cher not just like wants to meet me, but like has an urgent message for me. And
that's about his vehicle's warranty.
Yeah. He said, nobody ever says what it's about, so I never respond. And then a year goes by and then it happens again. So who knows? Yeah. So, okay. He says, somebody did get in touch with her. She called me and left a message on my phone. However, her message was puzzling. All it said was, I hear you want to talk to me. So someone is like trying to set them up or something. And so Giamatti said, that was it. That was all she said. I left her a message and said, that's great. I'd love to talk to you. But I thought you wanted to talk to me. And then I didn't hear anything back.
Right.
So
they're like trying to like big time each other or something.
Yeah.
Like I'm calling you at your request. Oh, I heard you wanted to apologize.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, well, it's one of those things where it's like, I'm sure Paul Giamatti would be happy to meet Cher. I'm sure Cher would be happy to meet Paul Giamatti. But if there's not a reason for them to meet, that's gonna be like weird.
We have to meet. We must meet.
Especially if one person thinks that like they're being summoned, you know, and then yeah. It's like, okay, so I'm here.
We have to. Yeah.
What do you want?
She's a huge billions head. So she just needs to. She needs to know Chuck Rhodes.
I just think about this because I heard this clip this week of Tom Hollander, who is he plays one of the murderous gays in the last season of White Lotus.
Of
he's in a really great show called Night Manager that I recommend if you like James Bond type stuff. He's great. He's like a character actor in England.
His name is Tom
Hollander.
Yeah.
What were you gonna say?
Oh, I was just gonna list more stuff. He's in The Thick of It. He's in The Loop.
Yes.
He plays a character called The Fucker in The Thick of It. He's only in a couple scenes, but very powerful.
I feel like he often plays a character who could be described as the fucker. Yeah. Like he's always a little fucker.
Oh, he's the guy. He's the guy in the meme from Bird Box who's holding the old lady's eyes open so she sees the thing. That's him.
Yeah.
There you go.
So. His name is Tom Hollander. He's been an actor for many, many years. And then all of a sudden, there's this guy named Tom Holland who, you know, different enough. Like, they're not going to be up for the same role. So I guess they're just like, whatever. But he says people, like, industry people will get in touch with him all the time and be like, my kids really want to meet you. And he's like, I don't think they do. I'm pretty sure they want to meet Tom Holland. And the people would be like, no, they want to meet you. And then he'll, like, have to meet some guy's kids who clearly don't know who he is because they're not watching The Thick of It
right.
or White Lotus. They think they're going to meet Spider-Man. And then it's like a 5'6" middle-aged British guy. Like
they're huge fans of the villain from Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest. Like that scene with right. the slow motion when the ship's blowing up and he's walking or whichever yeah. one that one's from. I think he's in another one too. The last one or whatever.
But yeah, it's just, I just can't imagine. It's like, I know how this is going to go. I know what this they're not, everyone's going to be uncomfortable. And they're like insisting like, no, they like you. It's like
do you know your kid? Do you know your kids at all? Like, do you know what your kids like? Like, what do they ask your kids what they know me from? Is it Gosford Park? Like, what are we talking about here?
Right. Yeah. They're Gosford Park heads. but anyway, yeah, just people meeting celebs without a point seems awkward. But anyway, so I'm reading this article about Paul Giamatti. It does say at the bottom of the article, it's from Entertainment Weekly, and it says EW has reached out to a rep for Cher for comment. So they're trying to get to the bottom of this, what the urgent message is between the two. But it sounds like maybe someone who works for Cher just really likes Paul Giamatti.
They love Kenny Pig Vomit Rushton, which is his character's name. Kenny Rushton, WNBC. It is a pretty good look. He's great in everything. He is good in that. He pops on the. It's definitely a big like, who is this guy, you know, type performance.
Between the main and the bonus today, I think we are like 0-15 on movies you reference that I haven't seen.
Yeah, well, that's how it goes. You know. Private Parts is funny. I don't know. It's pretty, you know, I mean, Howard Stern is not a great actor. He plays himself when he's like in his 20s, which is very funny because he was like 50.
That's
when
funny
that
in itself. Yeah.
But who else is going to play him? You know, he's yeah.
Yeah. Not a lot of people look like that. That is a singular sort of face and hair combo with Howard Stern.
He's got the look.
He's got a look.
A look. So I also, when I looked up pig vomit, I Googled it cause I wanted to find his name. It shows up in Google, like it's auto like thing. It's, pig vomit song by Paul Giamatti. So is there a song called Pig Vomit by Paul Giamatti? Did he record a song for the Private Parts soundtrack? Like what is going on here? Or is it just maybe a clip of him screaming and that's what it is?
Yeah. Okay. So I Googled it and it says artist Paul Giamatti album, Private Parts, the album.
Yeah.
So maybe he sings a little song in Private Parts. It's like how the Boogie Nights soundtrack has Mark Wahlberg singing The Touch on it, which is
sure
a real treat.
Of course.
Yeah. He must have sung a little song.
Pig Virus. Good for him. That is the first track on the album. I don't see Pig Vomit anywhere. So this is the mystery. This is what I'm going to spend the rest of my Saturday figuring out. So don't worry, everyone. I'll figure it out.
But yeah, I need to know. Maybe Cher was watching Billions. Is Billions still on?
It has ended, but it ran until I think this past fall or something.
Yeah, it was like pretty recent. But I was just saying, like, maybe if it's over, the question has answered itself. You know, like maybe you're right. She wanted to know what was going to happen on Billions.
I gotta know who's going to win, Chuck or Axe. It's like, well, it's not really about
win.
It's not really about that anymore. yeah.
Is that what the plot of Billions is? It's about someone trying to win.
I mean, certainly the first couple seasons, yeah. I mean, Chuck Rhodes is the DA, or the U.S. attorney, and he's taking down Bobby Axelrod, who is played by Damian Lewis, who's like a hedge fund guy.
Right.
And the twist is that Chuck Rhodes' wife, who played by Maggie Siff, is like the hedge fund shrink who works for, like, has known him for a long time. Whatever,
right.
I don't know what to call her job, you know, but she's like she fixes the heads of the guys so they can go make more money if they're having some kind of crisis of confidence or something.
Right. So she sands off all the emotional responses so they can sleep
stuff. But yeah, so he's trying to catch him in some kind of crime and he's trying to, you know, so it goes back and forth and yeah, it's but then it becomes about other stuff.
A real cat and mouse game.
But I think Axe came back. I don't remember. He left the show at one point, but anyhow.
Well, that's what's happening with Paul Giamatti.
Giamatti watch.
Giamatti watch. I hope we get an update. He seems like a guy you would see in New York a lot. Have you ever seen him?
I've seen him twice.
See? I knew it.
Yeah, I saw him. I was on my way to a date to go see Toy Story 3 in the East Village at the movies, and and he was waiting for a cab. So I saw him there, and then I saw him during COVID, during people wearing masks outside, sort of when that was like, and he's so distinctive looking, even with a mask covering his face, that I was like, oh, that's got to be him.
That's what that guy said about you in the airport.
That's true. I guess that can be done. I'm just not as I don't think I have the Q rating that that Paul Giamatti does.
What's a Q rating?
That's like a marketing term.
Oh, okay.
It's like a Q score. It's like the, you know, basically like it's like your IMDb ranking, I think, is what, you know what I mean? Like how famous are you, you know?
It's do you got the juice meter?
Basically, yeah. You know, are you part of the cabal or not? What is your Q rating?
Right. Yeah. What's your security clearance?
I would imagine Tom Hanks's Q rating is pretty high, and obviously they think he's part of the cabal. So, you know.
Yeah, I had never heard. Obviously, I knew there was conspiracy theory shit about him because he was like an early COVID case.
Yeah.
I thought that's where it came from, but then I heard those people think he's like a pedophile. Like. More so than the other, they think every celebrity is a pedophile, but he's like a specific one that they're like, that guy in particular.
Yeah, who knows?
More than the average.
I'm sure there's some arcane, you know, some image that's like unreadably complicated. You know what I mean? Like a huge, you know, that lays it all out. But
that was like one of my favorite like recent that type of thing rearing its head was. Because Will Ferrell has a documentary coming out about like his friend who is like they met on SNL. She was a comedy writer when he was there. She came out as trans like pretty recently, and Will Ferrell made a documentary about it, about like they went on this road trip, and it was about like him learning about trans issues or whatever. Mm-hmm. It seems really sweet. It's supposed to be good. But obviously all the psychos were like, this is, you know, the Hollywood agenda to turn us all trans or whatever. And one of them posted a clip from the Chris Gethard show and was like, Will Ferrell has participated in a satanic ritual.
Oh, God.
A clip from the Chris. It's like just so funny to imagine those people trying to make sense of the Chris Gethard show, trying to parse that. It's like so funny to me.
Right. So, well, the fish guy is a stand-in for Satan.
Right.
Right.
Vacation Jason is anti-capitalism because he doesn't want us to work.
I just
want to know like what their cosmology of that.
Right. Like how are you grafting this onto your existing, you know what I mean? Like, right. Like how do you make this fit the existing world for you that you're trying to sort of reify? Yeah. It's always an interesting exercise to see how that goes down.
Yeah. But anyway, so Will Ferrell is a Satanist because he did a sketch on Chris Gethard.
Well,
so.
Yeah. You know.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool. Should we do the other story?
Yeah.
Okay. The other story comes to us from Iguana Helium Cube in the Discord.
Two for two on the bonus this week.
One of the OGs.
Pew pew.
This is a man who spent years building Eiffel Tower with 700,000 matchsticks, maybe denied world record for using wrong matches. So you hate to hear that. That's some
you
real...
fucking idiot. You dumbass.
There's you something stupid going asshole. On and it's bad.
Yeah. I mean, so this is a French guy, so I'm glad I saw that before. From France, I just had a French last name. So I'm guessing it's pronounced Richard Plaud, you know, like, you know, not Richard, Richard. He built a almost 24-foot tall model of the Eiffel Tower out of matchsticks, 700,000 of them, 706,900. And he beat the existing record.
How tall is it? I'm sorry, I missed that.
23.6 feet.
Okay. Okay. Not bad.
He blew by the existing record. It was 2 feet taller. And unfortunately,
the record was specifically for Eiffel Tower made of matchbooks.
Yeah. Yes? You know, like there are these records that are really important. So
definitely, you know, you get listed next to fastest runner or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And as always, longest fingernails, tallest ever man.
Oh, he's always in there. Yep.
Fingernails guy is going off huge. All right. So then
his Q score is very high.
Yes.
Fingernails guy.
Yeah. Only by that name, though, unfortunately. So the Guinness Book of World Records, they came in to check it out, and they said, buddy, you blew it. You used the wrong type of matchsticks to qualify because the matchsticks
Get them out of here.
Were not commercially available. I'm not sure what that means.
What? Where did he get them?
I don't. Yeah, did he make them himself?
Because that, okay, that seems suspicious to me, that you would have access to special non-commercially available matchsticks. Because that makes it sound like they are purpose-built for making an Eiffel Tower.
Okay, so here it is. He was tired of buying matches from the supermarket and then manually, you know, like using sandpaper to take off the sulfur heads or however you would do that without burn, without them lighting on fire. I don't know actually how you do it. Not creating friction. I don't know how, but whatever the process is. So he actually worked out an arrangement with a manufacturer to sell 33-pound boxes of headless matches.
Okay.
So you know what? I don't know, man. It may have been a little, look, this might be a little bit strong, but I understand the point now, you know.
That's part of it. You got to figure out how to take the sulfur heads off.
And just it's just sweat of the brow stuff. Like,
it's part of the process.
Part of it is that this is a pain in the ass, and you need to, you know, you need to perform that part of it to get the credit. So, yeah.
But that does suck, because it is like the matchstick part is the same. You know, right. Like, it's not like he does different matchsticks. He just was trying to work smarter, not harder. I get where he was coming from,
right.
But yeah, you gotta.
Yeah, I assume he said sacre bleu.
Of course.
When contacted for comment,
what does that mean? Sacred bleu. Is that what that means?
Sacred bleu. Let's find out.
sacred bleu.
Holy God. It's a minced
holy
oath.
God.
So it's like a. I guess it's like a, so you're not swearing, basically, like, so you know, like, it's,
oh,
like,
it's like a Jesus crow.
Yeah, it's like darn instead of damn, that kind of deal. Yeah,
I see.
So instead of sacre Dieu, which would be holy God. Yeah,
I've never like heard that term before, but it's a really, I bet it has a good Wikipedia page. Minced oath, like there's probably a good list of those somewhere. You know,
let's take a look. Any good
I'm
ones
looking
here?
For the list. I don't see a list of them. I see like a Wikipedia page about the concept, but I bet they exist in a lot of different languages.
Yeah, well, poppycock apparently is one.
What are you trying to say? You're already saying cock.
Yeah, but it's from Dutch, poppycock, which means soft dung. So I guess, yeah, that's not a very good one. Sacre bleu is way better than any of the other ones I'm seeing here. Interesting.
I found a list in English, but I want to find other languages. But yeah, so gee whiz.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a bunch. Get zooks.
That's a good one.
Bleeding, blimey.
Yeah.
Blinking.
Egad is oh god, apparently. That makes sense.
Egad, that's a good one. Yeah. That's a very good one. Yeah, these are just like, I don't know. They're funny to read in a row because it just sounds like you stubbed your toe or something.
Right, it sounds like
dag gum, dag gummit, dag nabbit, dag namit, dang dang it, dang right. Nabbit, darn but, darn it, dash. Yeah,
right. You go from like a scientist to Yosemite Sam as you read down the list. You're like egad, gadzooks, and then you're like karn sarnit, you know, razza frazza. Yeah,
karn sarnit is a really good one.
Yeah.
I laughed too hard at that one and it hurt my back and I almost dropped my computer. Karn Sarnit. And then I would have said Karn Sarnit.
Richard Karn Sarnit.
Karn Sarnit. Okay, no, it is on here. I thought it wasn't for a second.
What is it though? What is it a swear for?
It's,
or something?
It's the etymology says on Wiktionary, derived from the exclamation consternation, a dialect pronunciation of consternation, either from a dialectical variant of concern or possibly from an alliteration of confound it. So it's just like it's like dang it or something, but it doesn't seem to have a
it sounds like a real, it's really wussy and far removed from, you know.
Yeah,
it's like somebody saying dang, like,
my stars
like,
and garters.
Right.
So, my stars and garters.
Somebody writing out dang, but D asterisk N G. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't like to cuss.
It is like consarnate is like if you don't even want to do a variant of a variant, you say consarnate. Because it's
what
like
in the Sam
so
Hill?
Far. Sam Hill is on there.
What's going
Sam
on?
Hill is on
who,
the list.
Who is Sam Hill? Why
let's find out. Let's click on it.
Oh, he's the devil.
He's the devil.
Yeah.
No suitable person is known to be the original for this. Probably as a substitute for hell, or more fully damned hell.
Yeah.
Sam Hill.
What in Sam Hain? Yeah.
Sam Hain, there you go.
Samuel Hill, the millionaire. I don't think it's this guy. Yeah.
Okay, I found the page of all the other ones. What let's go to French. Let's see. There's a couple French ones we got in here. They're all bleus. Lots of bleus in here. I guess because instead of de.
Yeah.
Corbleu, parbleu, palsambleu. Let's see.
Oh, zounds is a really good one. That's one I just saw when I was Googling around. Zounds.
Zounds?
God's wounds. Zounds.
That's zounds?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Like the spear of destiny, the wound in Christ's side and his hands and feet. Zounds.
That's what I say when I discover a new element or something. God's wounds. That is good. The French ones are kind of like that. It's like God's body is one, by the blood of God. A lot of just like talking about God's flesh, you know?
Man, some of these are, the way they show up when you Google French mints, oh, it's like scrognew, tabarouette, tabarnouche, sapristi. Like some of these are really...
Tabernou, like you just sounded like all of the French Canadians in New Hampshire when you said that. This is funny. There's a French one. It's mot bleu, and it's an alliteration of mot de. And the definition given for it is gadzooks. So they're just the
definition is gadzooks.
Gadzooks, same deal. Gadzooks, a contraction of God's hooks, talking about crucifixion.
Jesus. So,
yeah, a lot of these are like real fucked up. Gadzooks. So, minced oaths. Check them out.
Check out minced oaths. yeah, so anyway, so that's what this guy said when he found out that he didn't get the record.
Yes.
Apparently, the previous record, this is interesting. I don't know. This guy found a much more efficient way to do this, unless maybe he used like the long ones that you use to light a fire as opposed to like... The little guys, but the record currently, I guess it's currently the record. It was 21.4 feet. As I said, it's about a little 2 feet less. In 2009, the guy that we're talking about used 706,000 matches. The previous one used 6 million matches. So I don't.
Damn.
He really
was it wider,
much
or
more
something?
Efficient. Although I guess, okay, breaking news here, not breaking, but I clicked on
breaking
the
to you.
Going on the, so on this news story, they have a, you know, like a, like blue text, the record is held, and that's like, it takes you to the Guinness page. The tallest matchstick sculpture on Guinness is Richard Plowd. So I guess they reversed their decision.
Wow. They gave it to him.
Yeah. Which I don't know if, wow. if I was a 6 million matchstick guy, I'd be like, come on, dog. I
feel like he should get a bonus record for most matchsticks.
Yeah. Most intricate, but also tall.
I'm just thinking about how they're the pyramids of Giza or whatever are like really, really tall, right?
Yep.
But there's like another pyramid, like the pyramid of Cholula is way bigger than them because it's like not that tall, but it's super wide. Mm. It just like takes up way more area. I feel like that's what this matchstick, 6 million matchstick thing is like. It's like the pyramid of Cholula.
Pyramid of Cholula making me hungry. Sounds like my damn, hot sauce shelf.
Sounds like the damn stuff you put on your dog's turds. That's why it's making you hungry.
Wow.
You're thinking about those dog turds.
This is hurtful. wow. That's speaking of pyramids also and food. Did you see that the Luxor has been wrapped by a giant Doritos ad like that? So
I did.
Which is so
sick.
And
it reminded me it's so what? Sick.
So sick. I love it.
Okay, so I saw that and it brought back a recovered memory of mine of in Austin. Like, I used to live in Austin, and until about, I would say 2015 was probably the last year South by Southwest was like fun. And then it was always like sort of pros and cons because it would get so crowded and like everything was expensive, whatever. When Interactive took over, it sort of stopped being as fun. Mm-hmm. But you would go every year, and I remember there was one year that they built this huge stage downtown that they built it to look like a vending machine full of Doritos, and it like loomed over downtown, and it was so bizarre. Like, you'd be I remember, like, it was just a very South By interaction, because there was this like courtyard where if you were a comedy person, you would go hang out there, because that's where most of the comedy shows were. You know, you'd be like a local comedian, it would be cool because you'd be like sitting next to Maria Bamford or something, and like feel you got to feel like a famous person for like a week.
Yeah.
And I just remember sitting in that courtyard looking up at this Doritos vending machine and making like awkward small talk with Eugene Merman about it, and like that just like typifies what being at South by Southwest is like. That is exactly it. But yeah, it just brought back that memory of the weird giant vending machine. So Doritos has been doing this, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, like, look, let's not pretend there's any kind of anything sacred in Vegas. Like, you know what I mean? The idea that this totally would be crass or something. Like, who gives a fuck? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
is funny that like the Sphinx is still the Sphinx, but right, it's in front of a Dorito.
Like, making one side of this pyramid, which is a big chip shaped thing, at least in terms of like the sides of it, into a giant Dorito is wonderful. So good.
It's delightful.
I mean, you can think of all the things they could make the sphere into in the same way. You know, that I'm sure they're,
how do you feel about the sphere?
I would love to go to the sphere. I think it's probably fucking fantastic. I also think it's such a surreal and bizarre thing that there's just like this weird like animated emoji face that just kind of like looms in the distance and like that's like super visible.
I saw
and, like,
IT
very, like,
recently.
Shelby saw IT recently. You were in Vegas, Shelby? Shelb Vegas.
Shelby lives a life of mystery.
For a day.
Shelb Vegas.
Vegas Shelb Vegas. I was supposed to go to Vegas when I had my shoulder surgery. Couldn't go. And, I was looking forward very much to seeing the sphere, and I could not do it. So
I've never been to Las Vegas. I imagine living by the sphere is probably really annoying, but it is kind of delightful that it exists.
I mean, there were those videos of like the guys golfing and like down the fairway, there was just like the fucking, this like, you know,
fates
thing doing like the eye rolls and stuff. It's like, this is so weird. It's so strange. Which I, you know,
but
so I mean, it's losing a ton of money. It's probably not going to last very long or whatever. You know what I mean? But like, it's James Dolan's money, which I think is funny. for that comment, I will be banned from Madison Square Garden, which I hope does not happen, because I'm supposed to go see Billy Joel next month. So let's hope that does not happen. But
do not send James Dolan this podcast.
That's
it
right.
Is a breach of your Patreon contract.
James, if you're a subscriber, I apologize. I would not. I don't.
Who do you think our most famous subscriber is?
I don't know.
I don't know if we have any famous people, really.
Well,
if you're our most famous subscriber, send us an email.
It feels gauche to talk about it while they could be listening, you know. We don't know people. I mean, I do the thing where I do like a fake email address on Patreon, so like you can't tell that it's me.
So many of our patrons are Ronald@McDonald's.com. It's super high percentage. It's really weird.
How do they all get that email address?
Do you use a fake name for Patreon?
Not a fake name, like a I use like one of those hide my emails, like the Apple ones.
I do use
a fake name, so that if I this way I can subscribe and unsubscribe without it showing up, because I know that people could see that, and I don't want people to know that.
You don't want people to feel bad.
Yeah, like people that I know, nice, whose podcasts I listen to or and stuff. These are the things I think about. This is a welcome to the inside of my head, which is a house of horrors.
You say that. I don't think I've ever, mostly because I know it would bother me, I don't think I've ever looked at the unsubscribes. I know we look sometimes at the exit surveys just to see if there's like something we're doing that is pissing people off.
Yeah.
But
bye.
But I make you guys look at those. I don't look at them ever.
Well, I don't
want to get my feelings hurt.
I don't like, we don't have it set to, and I don't know if you can, maybe you can't have it set to like get an email on somebody. You know what I mean? I don't know how close.
Yeah,
because
other people
could be way more granular about that kind of stuff. So like, you know, I know that we get it if somebody like reduces their from like 10 to, you know, from like 10 to 5 or something like that. You know,
no,
I mean?
You have to like get on Patreon and like look at the,
but people might do that. And to a certain extent, yes, that's on them, but I'd rather not be, you know, I don't want to be implicated, frankly.
You don't want to cause a faux pas.
Yeah. It's none of my business, or it's none of their business. It's none of somebody's business. But anyway, this guy, I guess he got the record. So happy ending after all that.
Yeah. I guess I'm glad they gave it to him.
No update on the story.
I think 6 Million Guy needs a comeback.
Yeah, I thought about saying 6 Million Guy, and it seemed like that could be a risky thing to say, given...
If that's your username somewhere, change it now.
not good. That's it. This was the bonus. So
thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. We'll see you in the funny pages.
Bye-bye.
Bye.